Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Behind those warm and cozy nights at home, thousands of employees at BP go to work every day. People producing more U.S. natural gas, people building grid scale solar capacity, people turning landfill waste gas into pipeline quality renewable natural gas, and people delivering all of that power where it's needed. They're part of almost 300,000 jobs BP supports across the country. Learn more at bp.com/investing in America.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2017 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Here we go.
Hey, this is Paris. I'm here with Pete.
Hi.
And
Hi.
We are about to do an interview with Far Cry 5. So please introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Drew Holmes, lead writer on Far Cry 5.
Yeah, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to you. Like I was telling you offline, we got a chance to talk to Dan earlier about Far Cry 5. But since you're the lead writer, I think this is perfect because you can kind of talk about this whole story.
Sure.
Far Cry 5, we're in Montana now. I got a chance to play it. Sandbox is great, the little part that we got to play. I'm loving it. I'm excited for next year when this comes out.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Far Cry. Far Cry 5, it's up to
me. Yeah, it's been a long week.
The last day,
it started like day one was actually day three.
It's, I know, it's crazy.
It's the longest E3.
But the story of Far Cry 5, mm-hmm. if you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, as Dan has said in the past, Far Cry 5 this time around set in Montana, and the story revolves around Joseph Seed and his cult called the Project at Eden's Gate. I sat down with Dan probably around 2 years ago to interview for the gig up in Montreal, and he pitched me on basically an idea of Far Cry set in America, a Far Cry that is specifically you're fighting against a radical cult in Montana led by a guy. We didn't even have a name at that point. He's just he basically pitched me this idea of a guy who believes that God told him that the end of the world was coming, and it was up to him to save as many souls as he could. And from there, you know, you sort of start to take the familiar things about Far Cry, right? A really compelling villain, a really engaging environment for you to play around with. And then he started talking about this idea that we wanted a full, free way to engage the world, right? Like, no longer, we didn't want just a linear story that you're going down mission after mission after mission, and then the open world and the characters that you can meet. It was, how do we go completely non-linear to let the player explore the world, meet people that they're going to build their resistance against this cult on, and then let the story sort of happen to the player as I'm sort of going along whatever path I choose to take. How does the story unfold if we're not directly guiding you? And that's been the biggest challenge in terms of crafting that world, making sure that the player understands how the story is progressing when they're not just clicking on mission icon after mission icon after mission icon. So we started to develop this idea of a meter that's sort of racing through the world in each region, the resistance meter. It's tracking what your progression is as you do an outpost, or you go and you meet someone like Nick Ryan, do a quest for him, or even as you just explore and help people out, they're sort of being abused by the cult, being held as hostages, things like that. That's raising your resistance meter. And what's happening is that the cult is reacting. The world is reacting to your success in the world. They're changing up their tactics. They're throwing new enemies at you, and they're inserting themselves into your story. So I'll go and maybe meet Nick Rye, help him steal his plane back. I land. If that raises my resistance meter enough that John, who is sort of in charge of that region, he'll show up, right? I'll have to deal with him in that moment, and before, and then I go back out into the open world and start to explore. So I think it's been really interesting than sort of the, some of the stuff I've done in the past, which is very, very linear, really guiding you along to sort of say, okay, we know that we need to raise the stakes of the story. We know that we need to hit certain beats to make sure that there's closure for this part of the story. But we have no idea where the player's going to be. So how do we deal with that? That's been the biggest challenge.
Yeah, I actually find that pretty fascinating, especially in today's gaming. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are open world, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Go do what you want when you want. Mm-hmm. So like you said, I'm sure that's a huge challenge for you. So you're telling me there's scenarios in this game where I can decide to go, all right, I want to go tackle this character, mm-hmm, do this quest for him, mm-hmm, and that's going to dynamically, not literally change the circle. I'm sure the father is still the end game,
right,
of what you're going to do,
right,
but that middle part of the game could dynamically change.
Yeah, and it actually, and because we know we have touchstones throughout each region of story beats that you're sort of dealing with that main, that whoever is in, you know, John, which is what we've been showing off in the Western region, it's his region, it's his story. But how you're engaging in each of those is different. So, you know, characters will sort of float in and out of certain,
right,
scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
So making sure that that players understand who those characters are before they may have met them, they may not have met them. Making sure that it's someone doesn't show up before they've sort of been set up in the world to, you know, you don't want Nick Rye to sort of show up and act like he's your friend if you haven't even met him yet. So it's been a way to sort of make sure that the NPCs, as you travel through the world, that just the people that you bump into and maybe send you off on little side stuff, are have an awareness of the important people in the region that you need to know about, so that you got at least some sort of background information about them, and you may have heard about Nick before he shows up into your story. It's the biggest challenge of this game so far.
So this is in Montana. It's dealing with cold. Mm. It's happening now.
Yeah.
As a writer, how much research did you have to do? Go live with a cult for 2 years, try to figure out how it works, or what kind of research?
I think, you know, we do a ton of research for Far Cry. I mean, this is my first Far Cry game, but in the past, you know, the emphasis has been put on making sure that the subject matter that we're dealing with is really well researched. There was a team that went out to Montana when, you know, they were kicking around the idea of setting a Far Cry in America. They went out, took a whole bunch of pictures, just got a feel for the place and the people, you know, making sure that this felt like, it's one thing to say, yeah, we're going to set Far Cry in America. It's another to sort of make sure that it doesn't feel too fantastical, because I think we always need to make sure that the game feels believable, feels plausible, maybe not necessarily realistic. I mean, we're taking some liberties and creating our own county and creating a bunch of new characters, but it's all based on people that we may have met or things that may have been seen out there. As far as the cult goes, you know, we brought in a whole bunch of people that have dealt with cults, that have studied them, that have done documentaries on them, just to make sure that we understood what we were talking about if we were going to create our own cult. I've read so many books on various cult, yeah, leaders. It's because you want to be, make sure that there's a specificity in the story that you're telling. And if you don't have that background and you're sort of making things up, it quickly unravels. If you can tell when a writer, I think, has a sense of or is knowledgeable about things that they're dealing with, when they're just sort of bullshitting their way through.
Right.
So for me, I think, and the rest of the writing team, it's always making sure that, like, okay, we want this beat in the story. Is it plausible? Is it based on something we may have seen or read about? We just twist it in our own way to make it far, right?
Obviously, it's an action adventure game. How important was the character development and story for you personally working on this title?
For me, I mean, I'm always focused on character. I think that the way that we have our core story creative group work with Dan at the head, myself, J.S. DeCant, as the narrative director, I think we sort of complement each other in various ways, where Dan is saying, this is the direction that we want to go in terms of the story. This is sort of the path that I'm looking at. J.S. is going, okay, here's how it's going to work in the world, and here's how we need to sort of funnel that information back. And I'm sort of making sure that our character isn't lost in sort of the bombast. For me, it's what does this character want? What do they need? What's standing in their way from getting that? And what are the obstacles that they're willing to, like, what are the lengths they're willing to go to achieve their goals. And villains obviously go a little bit further down and are willing to sort of sacrifice more of their soul to get what they want than the protagonists. I think with Far Cry, it's the franchise has always been known for compelling villains, Voss, Pagan Min. But outside of that, you know, we've lost a lot. I think that there, you don't really get a sense of a lot of the other ancillary characters because of the insanity that happens just in the course of the game. So we, from the start, there was an emphasis put on the characters that you meet that are part of the resistance, your guns or hire your friends that you meet, because I think it's one thing to say the game is telling you to go and defeat the cult, right? The game is telling you that's my game objective. Okay, right. Cool, I get that, I'm gonna do it. But is there a way so that we can create characters that you can empathize with, that you understand where they're coming from? So it's not just my mission objective is to go do this, but this guy that I met in the world is, you know, like Nick, for example, right? He's trying to look out for his wife, Kim. They're expecting a baby. He kind of maybe wants to just say, screw it, we need to leave. And she's the one going, this is our home. We built this place. Your grandfather built this house that we're living on. We need to stay and fight. And that dynamic goes back and forth, building their story. So that I think that it's not just wild, bombastic Far Cry. You get really cool little character moments that if we do our jobs right, I think people are going to go, okay, this is something I haven't seen in a Far Cry game before. It's giving a bit more emotion to it.
How difficult was this to write a story as detailed and as character rich in comparison to other things that you've written?
The challenge, every game is its own challenge, right? And I think that because of the sort of non-linear nature of it, that's been the biggest hurdle to clear. But, you know, we built a really talented writer's room back in Montreal, Toronto as well. It's not just, you know, me, Dan, and JS trying to solve these problems. We've got a big group of people that are brainstorming constantly, and actually, like Nick himself, that character started off as sort of a very aggressive lone wolf, just sort of hell-bent on destruction character at the very start, and in discussions with all of the writers and saying, you know, we need to bring more depth in here. What can we add? That's where, you know, Kim, his wife, steps into the picture, and that dynamic starts to form. So I think really it's been a really collaborative effort with a lot of really talented group of writers with many different points of view and how they see the world, and that's how I think we're getting a really cool mosaic of stories.
Well, actually, this is a perfect lead into my final question to you. So I'm always fascinated about the development process in the game. So from your standpoint, I understand, you know, it takes 3-4 years to make a game. I'm sure the sandbox environment and all that happens, but as far as writing with the story, how late into the process are you editing and updating and changing things before you're like, all right, we're done, the story's locked in, and that's the end of it? And the reason I say that is because Far Cry, this is going to be a controversial game. It is. I'm sure you've seen the reception since it's been announced and all that, so I'm just curious if you can actually, you know, adjust to the things that you're seeing even before, by the time it comes out.
Yeah, I mean, we write pretty late into the process, much later than probably some of my producers would like.
Right.
You know, it's I tend to be a very lazy writer until the deadline's a couple days before. It's, you know, the ideas are sort of kicking around and then you sit down and actually put words on the paper. I think in regards to, you know, the controversy and the issues that have been brought up, I think, you know, again, going back to this idea, it was 2 years ago that Dan and I started to really pen this story, and it's certainly been eerie to see the parallels start to form as we've gotten closer and closer to the announce. The intention was never to draw direct commentary, but I think at the same time, art and entertainment, when they're at their best, are a product of the environment in which they're created. You know, we can't help but be influenced by what's happening every day, and I think that it speaks directly into the story that Joseph is telling his followers and he's telling the player, which is we all feel like we are reaching some sort of edge and we're not quite sure what's going to happen when we tip over. Every morning that we wake up, we all read the same headlines. We all get a sense that there is something about to happen. And I think thematically, for me, the story is about, we all sense that something is coming, right? That's the opening line of the trailer. I think that that sense of, is someone at the wheel? Is someone have their hands on the steering wheel? And the question that we're sort of posing for this game specifically is what happens when the wrong guy gets his hands on the steering wheel in the form of Joseph Seed, right, and saying, this is the way that we're way forward, this is the way that we'll survive this.
Like I told you before, I can't wait until 2018 when this game comes out. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right on. So
Drew, thank you.
No, thank you.
Talk to us. It's really great. Appreciate it.
Cool.
This episode of Gamertag Radio is brought to you by our sponsor, Western Digital. With Western Digital, you're now able to get solid-state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a Western Digital solid-state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speed so you can boot your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with reliable Western Digital hard drives, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. And for a limited time, Gamertag Radio listeners, pay attention. For a limited time, you can get 20% off Western Digital solid state drives with our coupon code WDGTR. So to find out more, go to WDC.com/GTR, use our code WDGTR.
Listeners might be asking, like, why I should get this?
I'm gonna tell you exactly why you need to get this, mm-hmm. because I'm a PC gamer. Anyone listening to this, we have plenty of people in our Discord channel asking questions all the time. I get on Twitter, hey, mm-hmm. Paris, I want to build a PC, what do I need? The first thing I always tell them, hard drive, get a solid state drive, mm-hmm. or get the SSHD, which is basically the hybrid mm-hmm. hard drive,
yeah.
because you're going to want those quick read speeds and load speeds when you're playing games, because you know it's going to load everything a lot quicker. You're going to want storage. So like that 4 terabyte drive that I just put in my PC, which is the SSHD. I'm doing all this 4K video editing. I need the space because those files are huge.
Yeah, huge.
Right?
So again,
this is a great opportunity to get 20% off a new hard drive. Like I said, go to WDC.com/GTR. Use that code WDGTR and get 20% off. This is a great deal, guys. Make sure you check it out.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.